Welcome, everyone. Is this on? Hello, everybody. This is Read by Grade 3, Everything You Always Wanted to Know and More. Hopefully, you're in the right place. We're going to go through what the law says, what the implications are, and finally, what actually the cut score, what's going to happen at the end of May here. Nikki?
Okay. So we thought we would start off. By going through some cheerleading exercises. So these are our accomplishments from not only our department, but all of the departments throughout MDE. So the first is that our parent awareness toolkit was shared with partnership districts, and that we've created unique cut score and their development, the development of a Read by Grade 3 communication committee to support implementation of the Read by Grade 3 law, the partnership with MESA and GELN, Early Literacy Task Force, and the completion of the essentials. Can you raise your hand if you're familiar with the literacy essentials? Great. And how many of you have been to trainings? And how many of you have done the online trainings? Perfect. Love it. Great. These are, if you haven't had an opportunity to do that, please check them out online. They're really great resources and tools for you. And also another celebration is the Active Coaching Network that continues to grow. Another celebration is the literacy grant funding. And in 2018-19, you can see the numbers up here. There were 93 coaches and 740 districts were awarded additional instructional time grant. But in 2019 and 2020, the funding was available for 280 coaches and 703 districts were awarded the additional instructional time grant. So that's good news. Money's being put into literacy. The literacy assessment, the movement of the kindergarten assessment to MDE's Office of Great Start, and the passage-based writing field test had better than anticipated participation and scores. So we were hoping when we did this 2 years ago that we would have 1,000 participants at each grade level, and in some grade levels we ended up with over 7,000 students taking those passage-based writing tests. These were all contexts created by Michigan authors, and so that was really great to see the turnout, and that just gives us very valuable information and stats so that we can move forward with those. So thank you to all who did that. Another accomplishment, this was of 2019, the pre-service literacy learning, the State Board approved the literacy program standards for pre-K through grade 6, and the faculty face-to-face training on the new program standards. And in the budget is Section 35A, the ISD Early Literacy Coaching Grant was for $31.5 million, and this eliminates the needs for the ISD match, allocating $112,500 per coach, and it will triple the number of coaches. So to me, that's a great celebration. And the Section 35A, the summer reading program, $5 million was awarded to districts to implement a summer school reading program for grade 3 pupils who did not score at least proficient on the ELA portion of the 2019 MSTEP, and for pupils in grades K through 2 who are not reading at grade level. Another accomplishment is in the budget, funding was available for 280 coaches and 703 districts were awarded additional instructional time grant. In September of 2019, EPIC was awarded $5.5 million dollar grant over 5 years to evaluate the impact of the Read by Grade 3 law. And the evaluation will have three components. And the first component is It will impact the analysis of the Read by Grade 3 law on student outcomes and retention. The second, there was an implementation study that's going to happen, and surveys of K-8 teachers and principals, superintendents, and ISD literacy coaches is ongoing and will continue to be. I think it's great because then voices from the field are being heard, and their viewpoints and their expertise are also being voiced. There will be state-level interviews and also classroom observations. So they're kind of looking at this from all angles, which is awesome. Then they will do a cost-effectiveness analysis as well.
Okay, why are we here? Well, in 2014-15 school year, out of the 107,000 third graders, only 53,000 were not proficient. So the legislature decided to do something. They signed into law Bill 4822, and at that time, there were certain parts of the bill that we didn't really understand. The department took it on. We had many committees that went through what it should look like, what happens now. And I'm going to go through the actual law. The first part is the law, and then it'll be the implications. So the first part is MDE was to come up with 3 screening, formative, or diagnostic assessment systems. And you've heard a lot about assessment systems this morning from Mr. Pellegrino, Dr. Pellegrino. And he was part of a group that we worked with to come up with a lot of that information. The action team that we did 3 years ago was to review the third grade MSTEP. We chose 40 plus assessments, and we categorized those assessments as either initial or extensive. We recommended, MDE also recommended a coaching model, and we used research and existing practices to identify the essentials. You all know about the essentials, and provided guidance for the coaching. So also the board of a school district or PSA, what were they supposed to do? That's what MDE was supposed to do. They needed to select one of those tools. They needed to inform, that would inform instructions and interventions, and also to assess toward a target. They were to develop individual reading plans as per the outcome of the assessment and utilize the early literacy coaches. How many people in here happen to be coaches? Okay. Hopefully there'll be a lot more next year since we have so many more. So a district also was to test a student, anyone that exhibited a reading deficiency, all students, whether you did have a reading deficiency or not, were to be tested 3 times a year, monitoring, and evidence-based core reading instruction. So third grade students who exhibited that reading deficiency had to have increased-based reading instruction, small group or one-on-one, and ongoing progress monitoring. Students identified as English language learner had to have ongoing assessments and instruction in the 5 areas of reading components. We also need to have, part of the retention bill. We all talk about this bill, and we hear the word retention, and that's what everybody remembers about the bill, is there's going to be some punitive action at the end of this. What else was in the bill was all pretty good stuff, having the coaches and all those other things. We still have the retention piece of it. I'm not sure for how long, but we still have it, which will be implemented this year. So in 1920, students who will not be enrolled in fourth grade unless they achieve a proficiency score on the grade 3 ELA, which includes not only the reading. Everyone asks this question, is it just for the reading? It's not just for the reading, it's for all claims, which means the writing, the language, and the speaking and listening part of the assessment. They need to, so if they don't do well on the M step, then they need to use an alternative standardized reading test, which would be chosen by the superintendent of school, and we've been told that that's not going to happen. We're not going to have another assessment. So the other choice would be if a student in grade three's reading level via a student portfolio of all the ELA standards. So a teacher won't know until after the student takes the test whether they need to have this portfolio. So if you have students who are at risk, you may need to be proactive. The exception is proficiency in all other subject areas. So you'd have to be proficient in math. And since we don't have a science and social studies test, you would have to do a portfolio to show that you were proficient in those areas. Section 7, you need to be, those students who are retained are going to have to be assigned to a highly effective teacher who is the highest rated third grade teacher or a reading specialist within your school. Utilize the evidence-based reading programs and then to have daily small group instruction or one-on-one progressing monitoring ongoing and a supplemental reading instruction. 7 is where we probably get the most questions, good cause exemptions. So what is a good cause exemption? Why would this not affect your student if they scored poorly on the MSTEP? So as determined by a student's 501 or an IEP, if the student had an IEP or a 501, then that teacher can recommend that the student not be retained. Limited English proficiency student with less than 3 years instruction in ELA ELL program. Students that received 2+ years of intensive reading intervention and had been previously retained. So if you've been previously retained in any of those years before third grade, then you're not subject to this also. A student who has continuously enrolled in the current school less than 2 years, and there's no evidence of an individual reading program, reading plan that should have been done. Parents and guardian request, the third grade teacher can request with the agreement of the superintendent per best interest of the student. So those are our good cause exemptions. And Nikki?
So as it states on here, we must improve learning outcomes for our students. I want you to take a minute and read the quote from the Literacy Essentials. So students in the lower grades are really learning how to read. So their literacy knowledge and skills that they're developing in kindergarten through third grade are really vital and important for their future success, which all of you know. So for planning for the third grade reading and law and for success in the future, the legislation itself is not enough to help get the results that are desired for all students. So what does every classroom every day look like? These are a list of resources that you can find online, and they come out of the GELN, the General Education Leadership Network. And we have copies if you have not seen them, if you want to come up and take a look. But you can read through that list. So if there is one that speaks to you and it's an area that you want to explore further, all of those resources are online and you can access them. The link is at the bottom. And then this, you've probably seen in some of your other presentations, it's the theory of action. All Michigan students develop strong literacy and knowledge skills and dispositions. And these are the ways in which that happens. I'm not going to read
this in a previous
presentation.
Yes. It looks more on a vertical line.
Right.
And this is the newer version of it.
So I'm not going to spend a lot of time since that was already covered. So the reading programs beginning in the 2017 and 18 school year intended to ensure that all students were reading at grade level by the end of third grade. and that identified and addressed the pupils' reading deficiencies. It screens and monitors the progress of each student's reading skills, and it was comprehensive evidence-based core reading instruction that was essential, and the essentials helped to maintain that.
So MDE, as I said earlier, had to come up with an initial assessment list and a extensive assessment list. Districts were to use those lists in order to see where students were. I thought that was somebody here. Okay, so the initials are tools that are used within the first 30 days of school and are used regularly 3 times a year to identify any potential issues or challenges. And then the extensive is if you find that a student is having difficulty in one area, you would give an extensive assessment so that that student would be able, you could find out further what problems that student may have. And this is where you can find them. And so MDE recommended that the coaching network start, and districts were to use the coaching, which has come really much further than we ever anticipated. Lots of money given toward them. These are part of the institutes. Has anybody gone to any of these institutes? These were held in the last 2 years. They were coaching intensive. Some of them were 4 days long to get all the coaches on board. And there's a few more of them, statewide coaches. And at the bottom of the page are some of our partners. ISD coaches are to be helping with the literacy network and one-on-one work with teachers. And these coaches are not supposed to be just somebody that can come in and help take your students out for recess or something like that. They are supposed to be helping teachers within the classroom. And then there's the professional learning modules that are focused on the essentials, featuring Michigan educators. Has anybody used those modules? Yeah, Nell Duke and Tanya. So this is where the essential modules components. The presentations are based on coaches' training, and they're embedded into videos. And then classroom videos of essential practices, implementation, and then activities to reflect and check for understanding. So those are some pretty good videos that are out there. The literacy leadership, the essential partners, these are up on the front desk up here if you would like to look over any of those. And then we also had assessments to inform instruction by using the assessment inventory tools and the summer reading. Beginning in 2017, we started with individual reading plans. So if the student did not do well on that initial assessment, and then you found out that there was issues with the extensive, then you put them into an individual reading program. There are read-at-home plans, professional development for teachers in buildings, and also using your literacy coaches and summer reading camps. So the reading interventions, they need to meet the minimum, you need to develop the ability to read at grade level, develop the components, phonemic awareness, phonics, fluency, the big five, to use a systematic, explicative, and multisensory sequential method, and also to be implemented during regular school hours in addition to classroom instruction. The English learners, ongoing assessments that provide actionable data, and then instruction in the big five, and then development of strategies such as modeling and guided practices. Also encouraged in the native language and opportunities for speech population and feedback in native languages. So reading intervention programs for grade 3, students exhibiting those deficiencies should have an evidence-based program, more dedicated time than the previous school year, daily small group instructions and progress monitoring delivered by teachers, tutors, or volunteers with specialized reading training. So it's starting next year, and you will need some really good teachers out there that will be able to provide these services. And before school, during school, or outside of school, regular English language classroom hours, the Read at Home program, and then guardians training for at regular reading. School districts must document that they've tried to engage with parents or guardians and document any dissenting opinions. So we don't want this to be a surprise. You have these intervention programs. Parents and guardians should know before they get that letter from CEPI. In 1920 is when the actual law will take place. It's achieved a reading score of less than 1 year, one grade level behind. So as we'll talk about standard setting, what does one grade level behind look like? Parts of the bill talk about proficiency. And as Andy said yesterday, if we used proficiency, we would have like 50% of the students being held back. But in we had to come up with something different, so we came up with a cut score. Then I'll show you how we did that in a little bit. Whose guardian has been notified is not enrolled in fourth grade until one of the following occurs. They have to either demonstrate grade 3 reading level throughout the portfolio, demonstrating competency in either English language arts, and then the other way is if incoming students younger than 10 years of age must demonstrate third grade reading. Only requires third grade once. So we're only going to keep them back one time. Okay, so the timeline, as Andy said yesterday, May 5th, we are hoping, is when CEPI will get the information. So 14 days after scoring is finished and STEP scores are provided to CEPI. And then 14 days after getting those scores, CEPI will send parents a certified mail. So it's not from when you get the letter in the mail, it is from when the letter was certified. That's where your timeline, your 30 days starts. So 30 days from the date of the certified CEPI letter, you guardians have to have a good cause exemption. They must direct the request to the district in which the student is intended to enroll in fourth grade. So if the student is moving at the end of third grade and they want going to a different district, it would be to that new district. And they have a right to request a meeting with school officials. So the timeline continues. Schools will be able to see the scores long before CEPI posts them. Principals can go into the secure site and see what the scores are. They can know in advance which students are at risk of being not going on to fourth grade. They should check their scores in the secure site, and then the school should notify parents so that it's not a shock when those letters come. Some good cause exemptions, again, we said earlier that they're for students that have an individual education plan, an IEP, or a Section 504 plan, limited English proficiency students, intensive intervention for 2 or more years and was previously retained, continuously enroll in a district, the current district, for less than 2 years with evidence that not provided a reading, an IRIP plan, and request it within the time limit. So it must be requested in the time limit for the best interest of the student. After the request of the teacher's initiative, a third grade teacher can submit a recommendation along with documentation that says that the student should go on. They need to review and discuss the recommendation and make the determination in writing. The final decision, final decision, is not up to the state. It is up to the individual superintendent within that district. So the superintendent's decision will be final, and it must be communicated to parents and guardians at least 30 days before the first day of school. So how is this all going to work out? who knows? You know, best intentions. Yes. The way the law reads is that the whatever the superintendent decides is the final decision. That's the way the law reads. Now, will something different occur? You know, your guess is as good as mine at this point.
A follow-up question. Will it be public information how many new class exemptions are granted?
Well, that's going to be part of, I think that's the next slide. Maybe not yet. But CEPI will want to know how many good cause exemptions, how many students were retained, and all that information will go back to CEPI. So for a good cause exemption, the other way of getting one is that if the student is proficient in all three other areas, we only have a math assessment, so they'd have to do well on the math assessment and then be proficient in science and social studies with a portfolio. Again, you're not going to find out that this student is going to be retained until May, and that portfolio is going to have to be throughout the year in social studies and science. So that's the implication. How can you prove that the student is proficient without those portfolios? So a lot on their plate. Students that are not promoted, again, this is instructional strategies. The highly effective teacher, a reading specialist, evidence reading program. I know I'm saying this over and over again because first I wanted to show the law, then I wanted to show what it means actually at the district level, and then finally we'll review. So all of these are what happens with CEPI. So beginning in 2020, no later than September 1st, the number of students retained in third grade and also the number of students promoted to fourth grade due to a good cause exemption. So, and remember the EPIC program where all of this information is going to be gathered by the University, Michigan State University, and they have that $5.5 million grant that they are going to see the effectiveness of this law. So standard setting, how did we come up with this magical score? So in 2018, the legislative said, our test is too long, so math and ELA need to be shorter. So we needed to do a standard setting. We had done a standard setting with the longer test. Now we had to do a validation of what we were now using. During the last 2 days of that validation, we had a third to fifth grade teachers come together, teachers and educators come together and come up with what does more than 1 year behind look like. So the ELA test in grade three would be used to make the determination, as we've said. Students scoring below the cut score will be sent the letter. And ultimately, the superintendent will make the determination of who will be promoted. So in the standard setting, the first thing we did was we took, in July, we took a number of educators. They looked over, and they came up with what was called a PLD. It's a performance level descriptors. So we described what would that threshold student be. What is that student who just makes it over the threshold, and then what would that look like if you were 1 year behind, and what would that look like if you were above that threshold? So we did that. In December of 2018, we also had another group come together, and they edited the descriptors, and at that same time, we repeated the bookmarking process. That's how you decide where you have the entire test in a booklet. And they're put from the easiest to the most difficult. And then you find what would proficiency look like? And in this case, what would 1 year behind look like? So we did that and with another set of educators. It's a different set of teachers. So we did it twice. And then we had a standard review. Michigan educators, stakeholders, even the woman that wrote the third grade reading law was part of our group. And we made recommendations of what that score is. In July, the standard setting, they described what that PLD look like, and then we had a committee of reading specialists come to review all of those in December, and then they saw that the recommendations differed by less than one half of one standard deviation. So at that point, they decided to go with what the July committee said, and they also recommended that we take one or two standard deviations of measure before, above, and below, and make that part of the retention policy. So what does that mean? So a student who, the magic number is 1253, really. If a student gets 1252, they are subject to retention and additional support. That one standard plus and minus deviation, 1253 to 1271, students are eligible for promotion with support. So the student would go on to fourth grade, but they still need support. And we thought this was really important, because just because you got one over that number didn't mean you were really ready for fourth grade. So we still want to give support to those students. And then the 1272 and above, those students are eligible to be go to fourth grade. Based on the spring 2019 data, that means that 4.1% of students would be subject to the retention policy. Now, that 4.1% is before you take out all the students that have IEPs, all the students that have. So we're thinking newer numbers may be 2 to 4% that would be retained. So based on those numbers, the recommendation means that 17.34% of the students would be in that promotion with support category, and 78.56% of students would meet the Read by Grade 3 requirement. This is a statewide score, so this law will be implemented at the local level. So at this time, and we do not know what that's going to look like, the analysis of that. So at the state level, it's 4.1%. Obviously, it'll be lower in some districts, and it'll be much higher in other districts. So we did it 2 years in a row. We looked at it. Maybe call me Pollyanna, but I kind of want to hope what's happened. With the 2018 data, 5% of the students would have been eligible for retention. But in the 2019 data, only 4.1%. So I want to believe that what we're doing with all the coaching and everything else is making a difference, and the number of students that will be retained will be lower. Yes. These are based on the final scores, but the preliminary scores, the only thing that is not included in the preliminary scores are the passage-based writing, because those are scored at a later time, and before, it's not going to be within those 48 hours that you can. So the preliminary scores come within 48 hours, and those are the ones that would be. So there will be some false negatives. Some students may get a letter and they really made it over. But we're talking about a very teeny portion that of one. It's one item. So it may make some difference, and we're saying it may, but it's probably not going to make very much difference. Yes. Good question.
I think, until their grade level MSTEP. Personally, I was a final teacher, and I didn't exit my students until they were at grade level.
According to MSTEP or according to your...
I mean, that's up to your district. So...
But the law doesn't state anything.
And that's for the reason why I put just the law up first and then went through it again, because this is what the law says. And who knows? Well, the law may change tomorrow. Well, not quite tomorrow. Yes.
Do we have
What, that fourth grade?
Yeah,
we don't know what, we just need, we just know that they need to give them some support. That's all it says for now, is support. Individual districts, we're very much on individual districts deciding what they need and what they don't. Yes?
Along the same lines, I was wondering, the 1253 to 1271 had
been placed with a higher need? I don't think so, but that question hasn't been asked. Kyle, would you write that down?
No. What you stated earlier is a
reading specialist, yeah. I would guess that that's probably, that's the third grade. So if they're pushed on, they probably still need to be with, you know, some supports from a good teacher, but the terminology that's in the law probably doesn't cover that, would be my guess. Again, districts will decide. So I'm hoping that this shows a trend, and we won't know until we get MSTEP scores this year to see whether the trend continues to be lower. Since I took over the whole thing.
That's okay. I don't mind. So we wanted to make sure that we kind of highlighted that there are lots of resources for you available. Most of you knew about the Literacy Essentials. Some of you know about the GELN documents. But this is kind of where you can go to find that on the MDE site. And you can sign up for Read by Grade 3 Communications. You can do that as well. If you have access to the Spotlight. Sometimes there's articles in there as well, but I would also recommend signing up for that just to give you updates. And I think they come, what, once a month or once a week?
For Spotlight?
No. The updates. I think it's once a month, but the Spotlight does come once a week. And then you can see there's lots of videos in here for you to use, but one thing that I think is really valuable, especially for schools, is the district resources, which are found at the bottom. There's actually an entire PowerPoint presentation with notes outlining this, so you can educate your staff, your parents. So take advantage of those. Don't recreate the wheel. Take a look at all of these resources because they're really valuable tools, and that will help you with your talking points and in making the decisions within your district. So.
That's actually part of that PowerPoint,
right?
That you can use however individual districts, they're giving you this PowerPoint to use. So we just thought we'd show you a little bit of it. A couple slides from it. This is part of it. So
right.
if you're presenting to parents, you can use this PowerPoint. So that's exactly what we've said before. And then here's a new way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. We have to invent more ways. We have to have more graphic organizers. But
I think the more you hear it and the more you see it, the more it will stick. So.
And here is where those resources are. Any questions? Yes.
I have two. Let me do the first one. The efforts for family support, and I applaud what you're doing. Documents, various things for families. I'm sure there's something funded to work with families before children hit kindergarten, other than Head Start type families, but it's going to be critical. We know the differences are there in kindergarten and before.
Yeah.
Is there any effort on the way at the state level to provide incentive for communication?
We do have in the works right now a family engagement group and policy
that I've been working on for the last 2.5 years, and the final version of that will be coming out. We went into schools throughout the state in large numbers in Detroit area with parents and encouraged them to tell us, you know, not be afraid of what's going to happen. Go to your teachers, go to your schools, find out what's happening. So that is part of it.
If you read in the newsletter that comes out and you sign up for that,
it will tell you everything that's being done across various districts within Michigan, and then also what's happening like across the whole United States. So other states are in this dilemma as well, and like there's some really great resources and tools telling about trainings for parents, and this district or this ISD is offering this, so there's a lot in there for resources and communication with parents.
Any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You're on a roll. Keep going.
I'm not sure if this is a question. It's a concern. I have a superintendent tell me once, in connection to this kind of a conversation, that they almost never want to hold the child back because it costs them, whatever their district per pupil, you know, $5,500, $8,000 to hold the child back, and they can't afford it.
That to me is a ridiculous idea, but I have also heard that one district in this state is the superintendent has said, I don't care what you say, I'm not holding anyone back, and it's his decision. So, you know, yeah, it could be just taking a stance and saying, I'm not doing this law. So, any other questions?
Decision-making was done prior when they were small. Like in the kindergarten, in first grade, those are, you know, really big developmental years. And if you don't have those foundations there, I mean, I think that's...
There are other reasons.
For a student to stay back. So to make a blanket statement like that, I think, is irresponsible. Because there's other reasons that a student may need to stay back.
I was just wondering if you had any information. Many of us applied for that. 35, 89, 90,
about the
summer reading program. Any idea when we'll hear about that?
Kelly Flaminio. She's not here. Kelly Flaminio would be the person. She'll just send her an email. Early literacy. She will be able to tell you. She's in charge of all the grants. So, yes, and that came down real quickly, and she managed to get it all out. And so I'm thinking that it won't be too much longer, but it's not my wheelhouse. Yes?
So if I'm not mistaken, one of the components of the law is that you cannot enroll a child from out of district into your fourth grade unless you have evidence that they are a proficient reader. So as families roll in late in the transient district, can we access their MSEP scores in SEPI?
You can access the scores from the previous year. If they took them in another district, you can access those scores. I think there's a lot of things that we haven't decided yet that, you know, we don't know where. Coming from out of state, that's a whole different thing. How do you say, okay, sit down, you're going to take the M-step now? No, you can't do that. And there's people that are saying that the parents won't allow them to take the third grade M-step. So we have that issue, too. What are we going to do with those? So the decision will have to be based on other information rather than the M-STEP. And again, the M-STEP, we keep talking about this M-STEP, but it's really only a part of the decision that should be made. But everybody wants to just talk about that. So, any other questions? Yes?
I've heard throughout this conference, parenthetically, by NBE people, like just this kind of side comment, like retention's part of it now, but it remains to be seen if it's can stay that way. So have you guys heard?
The only thing we've heard is we know that the governor doesn't like it. That's all we've heard. Okay. So, I mean, and there is a law, there is a bill now that is in the legislature, you know, it hasn't gone anywhere yet, but, you know, that it could be, you know, the retention part may be taken away.
Right.
But I don't want to take all the other good parts away, you know? So, any other questions? If not, I have a blatant... This is our blatant commercial. We write all our items for K-2, for M-STEP. We write field test items for M-STEP. Well, for the kindergarten to second grade assessment, we write all the items. And we write these items. Teachers within Michigan write these items. But then we also have committees where they need to be reviewed. This is a great opportunity. We pay you a stipend, we pay you sketches, but it's a great opportunity to come together. It could be just a one-day meeting that if you can get out. We're having a very difficult time getting people because of subs. So if anybody is at least interested, we thought we'd tell you what the actual committees do, and then at the end there's a it'll bring you to a code that'll bring you right to the page. So Context for You is all Michigan authors, they're published authors, write the items, and then we review those for bias and sensitivity, and then we have a content committee that'll look at them for content, and then those items, those goes on to other people that will write the actual items for the assessment. And once those items are written, we have another committee of bias and sensitivity that will also look those over and content. And then for after those committees are done, the item finally gets to go to field test. It gets field tested, and we have all this data on the item. And then what do we do with it? We bring it back to another committee. Is it bias? Is it, you know, is the context there? Why does it have low stats? You know, what's the matter with this item? How can we make it better? So finally, we also have a standard setting committee. I described that earlier. And then range finding. For the passage-based writing, we're going to have a range finding committee in which teachers come together and they decide what the scores for those passage-based writing sets will be, field tests. So all of those, this is the code. If you are at least interested or you know someone in your school that might be something they'd be interested in, please take a picture of that. And
some of the committees are during the school year, but others are often during the summer.
And again, you get paid for it.
Work with other people, learn what kind of items your kids will be encountering, and have a great input as to what you think about the actual items.
Kyle will tell you, we feed you.
Right.
Breakfast, lunch, and if you are 50 miles or further, we will also pay for you to stay in a hotel and pay for dinner for you.
Some of the members have been and really enjoy it. Been 20 plus years in the committee. They really are.
Has anybody in here been on one of our committees? Okay, so you can vouch for it. So, any other questions? I'm hoping you guys can get out of here early. And 3:37, you can get on the road. But feel free to email any of us. Did I hit my information and Nikki's information? Email us, and we'd be happy to talk to you about anything. And as time goes on, we'll know more, and hopefully be able to answer your question.
If you can read it, you might have to next week for me to decipher my chicken scratch.
Okay, thank you again, and drive safely.